Good morning.
I presume everything that we said or did is recorded.
Right, but this will be recorded not only in Shemayim, hopefully, but also on the internet. This is our first year in Ein Yaakov, and thank you for coming. Before we actually start Ein Yaakov, which will be either Thursday or next Tuesday, I'm going to cover some introductory matters in terms as far as, first of all, what is a Sefer Ein Yaakov? What is Agadata? What's the purpose of it? How are we supposed to understand it? As those who learn Daf Yomi or other Gemara know, sometimes there are lots of strange, seemingly strange things, medical advice, statements relating to science, which are not consistent with our understanding today, parables about, you know, or stories about frogs that are the size of 60 houses, and so on and so on. So I want to talk about how the Mefarshim over the centuries, what their general approaches were. A lot has been written about how to understand Agadata before even getting into specifics Agadatas. The Sefer Ein Yaakov is a compilation of Agadatas. It was started by Rav Yaakov ben Shlomo ibn Chaviv, who was born in Spain in 1445 and was part of the expulsion in 1492 and died in 1445. And died in Salonika, which is today in Greece, in 1516. He actually only completed Seder Zrayim and Seder Moed. His son, Rav Levi ibn Chaviv, completed the work. Then later, other people who had similar ideas came along and added to the Sefer. And the reason that's significant that other people added to it is because Rav Yaakov ibn Chaviv himself wrote in his introduction that all of the Agadatas can be divided into 12 categories. He didn't tell us which ones. He was going to write an index, but he never did. So he was, you know, there's from his Sefer, if he had completed it, we would have known exactly what he thought the lesson was of each Agadata. And the 12 categories are based on the statement of Chazal that seven things were created before creation. And the Mishnah in Avos that says the world exists on three things. And another Mishnah in Avos that says the world stands on three things. 7 + 3 + 3 = 13, but there's overlap. So that leaves 12. So those are the Torah, Avoda, Gemilus Chasadim, Din, Emes, Shalom, Tshuva, Gan Eden, and Gehenom counts as one. That then he adds one, which is not one of those seven, which is that a person should remember Gan Eden and Gehenna and act accordingly. Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, and Shmo Shel Mashiach. So those are the 12 categories that most of the Sefer somehow relates to one of them. But we don't know what his intention was in terms of what relates to what. And since other people added to it later, it could be that there are things there that don't relate to any of them.
That's the definition of the last one.
It includes for him Bias Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach, Eliyahu, Hanavi, Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba, which he says are all one thing, as we will learn in Perek Chelek. So we will learn Perek Chelek. The other question to be discussed is why does it say Shmo Shel Mashiach rather than just Mashiach? We'll come back to that. Okay. So remind me if we don't come back to that. As far as why he wrote the Sefer, he gives a mashal of there was a Sefer that some of the pages were not clear, and other people came along and copied only the pages that were clear, a reference to the Rif and the Rosh, who copied, so to speak, the halachic portions of the Gemara and left the Agadata. And over the years, people stopped reading the pages that weren't clear because they had the good copies of the other pages. And so he felt, you know, somebody needed to copy those other pages too. And the other thing he writes is that after decades of being a darshan and giving drushos and talking about what other people wanted to hear, he decided it's finally time to learn what he wants to learn. Personally, I found that very meaningful. When I came across that, I just came across that last week. But the other just historical note that is significant has to do with censorship. And that is, as those who were in Daf Yomi with us saw, particularly Masechet Sanhedrin, there's a lot of censorship. But throughout Shas, there also were many burnings of the Gemara over the centuries. The Ein Yaakov was spared a lot of the censorship and the burnings. And there are many places where the Girsos of the Ein Yaakov, the text is different than our Gemara's, and most Mefarshim consider the Ein Yaakov to be a more accurate text, because historically it didn't get the same treatment as a Gemara. It was censored, but not as heavily. So that is the historical background. On the handouts, you have item two. What is Agadah, or Agadata, or Haggadah, as it's referred to in many older Sfarim, with a Haggadah with a hey, but the terms are generally used interchangeably. Haggadah and Agadah. In Vilna Shas, in the back of Masachet Brachos, there is something called Mevoh HaTalmud by Rabbi Shmuel HaNagid, one of the very earliest Rishonim. He lived in Spain, I think, in the 1000s. And he wrote an introduction to Talmud. He explains, what's a Braisa? What's a Tosefta? What's a Machlokas? How do we know who the Halacha is like? He writes there in the Roman numeral 2, source number 1, he writes, the Haggadah, who called Pirush Yavoba Talmud, al shum inyan shelo ye mitzvah, any explanation in the Gemara about anything that's not a mitzvah, zohi Haggadah. So that is Haggadah, or what we call Agadata. And you should only learn things from it that are reasonable. This is a theme that we're going to see repeatedly in the introduction and as we learn. So if a Gemara says that there is a frog the size of 60 houses, well, that's not reasonable. So clearly it doesn't mean there was a frog the size of 60 houses. It's either a mashal or it's a Kabbalistic hint, and we'll see other approaches to how to understand these things. He says, should only interpret it in a way that's reasonable. V'yeshachaladat, and you should know, shekol mashi kimu chazal halacha binyan mitzvah shi mipi Moshe ben Olav Shalom, shekibel mipi agvura en lecha losif alav lo ligrum imenu. If something chazal say is a halacha regarding a mitzvah, and the mitzvahs Moshe Rabbeinu received from Hashem, so you may not add to it or subtract to it from it. But that which Chazal explained psukim, each one as it came to him, mashra avadata, or what seemed reasonable to him, lefi mashia leladat, mina perushim ha'elu lomdim otam bashar en sukhim alhem. If they are reasonable, we learn them, and if not, we don't. There are midrashim that, you know, we have accepted Medrash Rava and Medrash Tanchuma, mainstream Midrashim. There are other Midrashim that are more mainstream, and there are some Midrashim that have been totally ignored that are too fantastic for us to understand. You have to, basically what he's saying is you have to interpret everything in a way that is reasonable. Rav Hirsch, in the 1800s, a lot of the introductory sources that we're going to cover written in response to historical events. So in the 1800s, you had the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, and the Reform and Conservative movement starting. And so Rav Hirsch was one of the great defenders of Torah Judaism. And so he wrote extensively about some of these things as well. And so he writes that he explains the word Agadata comes from the word higid, to tell. And he says it's made up of ideas which have occurred to each one of what each one has related. The word Haggid, like the Haggadah on Pesach, is what we relate. The reason I put that in English is because he wrote in German. And since I wasn't going to put it in German, it might as well be in English. We'll see another interpretation of the word, but it's the same, it's almost the same thing that Rishul HaNagid said 800 years before. It's ideas which have occurred to each one. In other words, they are saying that unlike the Halachos, which are transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Agadata is not necessarily, okay, and we'll see more about that. Number three, what is the purpose of studying Agadah or Agadata? So Midrashim already discussed this, and source number one says, Lamod lecha Haggadah, learn Haggadah or Agadah. Shemitoch kach ata makir et haTorah v'darkei borecha, through learning Agadata you will recognize, you'll understand the Torah and the ways of your Creator, lalechet b'chol drachav l'dovka ba, to go in His ways and to attach yourself to Him, which the Mesil Sesharim says is the ultimate purpose of existence, is to attach yourself to Hashem. And the way to do that is through Agadata. Agadata is, in large part, Mussar. And what do we believe? What do we believe as we're going to learn about Mashiach, about Olam Haba, and about Schar Va'onesh, reward and punishment. And so these are things that are going to bring us closer to Hashem. Source number two, another medrash. This is, interestingly, a halachic medrash. And maybe that's why it starts with the words, Dorshei Hagadot Omrim, those who learn Agadata say. So this is an endorsement of Agadata by people who learn Agadata, but it's in a halachic medrash, the Sifri. Ritzoncha lakir misha marvaya olam, if you want to recognize the one who created the world, lamod Hagadah, learn Agadata. Shemitoch kach ata makir misha marvaya olam, v'tabek v'drachav. Through that, you will recognize the Creator, and again, see the reference, the importance of attaching oneself to Hashem. On the other hand, source number three says about those who don't learn Agadata, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, ki lo yavinu el pulat Hashem, they will not understand the deeds of Hashem. So the Medrash brings three interpretations. The first one is, this refers to people who don't understand how the calendar works. The second one, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Amar Elu Agadot, this refers to Agadata. So there's those who don't learn Agadata, do not understand the ways of Hashem. And that is the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni.
Attachment to Hashem.
Sorry?
Attachment to Hashem.
So here it doesn't, this third one doesn't say anything about attachment to Hashem, but to understand the ways of Hashem. One of our basic obligations, it's a mitzvah, lalechet bidrachav, to go in Hashem's ways. So in order to go in Hashem's ways, you have to understand Hashem to some degree. Source number four, from a later source and a controversial source, I'll explain in a minute, but Sefer Maor Einayim in the 1500s says, Tachlitan, the purpose of them, of Agadata, kafi ha'ra'at ha'ran, as the word it Agadata implies, v'lashon negad, u'nefek, u'milimshoch elivop ni adam v'mishmad vareinu, it's to draw people to hear our words. So Agadata is the word, he's saying the word means to draw people to hear the words, thereby to accomplish the purpose. Now, as I said before, many of the sources here were written in response to controversies. One of those controversies was created by this sefer that's quoted here, Maor Einayim, and the Maharal wrote extensively to refute various assertions by the Maor Einayim. That's why I said here that this particular quote appears in the Encyclopedia Talmudit in its description of Agadata. The truth is that the author of the Maor Einayim has been, if he needed to be rehabilitated, he was, his writings were put in cherem in his time, and some people learned them, some people didn't, but he was rehabilitated by Art Scroll, so among other sources. And the reason he was controversial is because of some of his statements about Chazal's understanding of science. And we'll see, this is a recurring controversy that happened in time, came up in time of the Rambam, came up in our times, and many times in between. What was your question? Rav Azaria Derasio, also known as Rav Azaria Minha Adomim, which is Hebrew for the Italian Derasio. It's the name of a place, I assume, in Italy. Ras, der means from, Rasio. Even though I divided this handout into sections, by the way, but there's a lot of overlap. And so, in terms of talking about purpose and the role and so on. Section 4 talks about the interplay between Agadata and Halacha. Source number 1 from Yerushalmi, Masechet Horios, quotes a pasuk in Koheles, V'lo yashlitenu ha'elokim lechol mimenu. Hashem will not give a person the power to eat from it. And Yerushalmi says this refers to a Baal Agadah, a person whose focus is on Agadata, she'eno lo oser v'lo matir lo matameh v'lo matayer. He doesn't paskin Halacha. We don't paskin Halacha based on Agadata. Well, we'll see a couple of reasons why. Agadata is not meant to be a halachic source. Now, we do actually have halachos that are based on Agadatas. For example, saying Ashrei 3 times a day. Mara says, Kol Omer Tilal David B'chol Yom, or according to another Gersa, Shesha Pamim B'chol Yom, 3 times a day. Uftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. He's guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. And because of that, we say Ashrei 3 times a day. And so much so that if you don't have kavana in one of the psukim, kotzeach et yadecha, you have to go back and say it again. That is a halacha based on Agadata, but we're not using the Agadata to paskin Okay, somebody said it's a nice thing to say Ashrei, so what's the harm? We'll say Ashrei. It's not that there was a machlokas. Say Ashrei, don't say Ashrei, and we use the Agada to resolve it. Now that statement itself, that if you say Ashrei three times a day, you're guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba, that itself requires explanation. That's a strange statement. I mean, if I say Ashrei three times a day and commit murder and bank and pillage the rest of the day, I'm a Ben Olam Haba. It does seem a little far-fetched. So one explanation for that is that it doesn't say muftach lo sheyeshev ba'olam haba, that you're guaranteed a seat in olam haba, but rather you're a ben olam haba. You're a person who is associated with olam haba. In other words, if you say ashrei three times a day or other things that we say, if you learn halacha every day, if you learn halacha every day, you're guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed a good seat in Olam Haba. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to get there at all. It means you're Ben Olam Haba, you're associated with Olam Haba. You're probably on the right track. If you learn halacha every day, if you say Ashrei every day, if you do these things that make you a Ben Olam Haba. If you're a Ben Bayit, if you have a boarder, he's your Ben Bayit. That doesn't mean he's your house, first of all, and it doesn't mean he owns your house. It doesn't mean he's guaranteed to be allowed into your house. But it means he's associated with your house. Source number two under section four is from a tshuva of Rav Hai Gaon. The Gaonim were the period before the Rishonim, after the Gemara, before the center of Judaism left Bavel, was the period of the Gaonim. Rav Hai Gaon was the last Gaon. He died in 1038. He writes to someone, so you asked about the meaning of this Gemara, which says that you say a bracha on earthquakes. Gemara says, what are earthquakes? And Gemara explains that Hashem cries. Hashem cries two tears, and these big tears fall on the earth, shake, rattle the earth, and there's an earthquake at the end of the first line. You want me to explain this to you? Kula inyana, the whole matter, so that you can learn other things from it and know when to say a bracha on an earthquake. You want me to explain this agadata to you? Rav Hai Gaon responds, Hai milta agadata hi, this is agadata. Uba v'chol d'damila amru rabbanan ein sukhin al divrei agada. Regarding this, the Chachamim said, we don't rely on agadata. Doesn't mean we don't learn things from it. We do. We learn midos. We learn what we believe. But we don't learn halacha from a statement that earthquakes are caused by God's tears. It has some meaning, obviously. And someday we get to Masachet Brachos. We can discuss what that is. But we're not going to learn halacha from it.
We don't say a bracha on an earthquake.
Didn't say you don't say a bracha on an earthquake.
Do we?
You do say a bracha on an earthquake. If it's Osa Masi Breshis or Shekocho Gvoratom Alei Olam, he's saying you don't say Bracha on earth. He's saying, you're asking me to explain to you what it means that that the earthquake is caused by Hashem's tears so that you can derive halachos from it. I'm not going to do that because you don't derive halachos from a statement that earthquakes are caused by Hashem's tears. That's what he's saying. He's not arguing with the halacha that you say a Bracha on an earthquake. Why can we not learn halacha from Agadata? There are a few reasons. One is, as we'll discuss in more detail, that we have to know what they're meant to teach. And an agadata like that is not meant to teach us science, for sure. Chachamim did not think that earthquakes were caused by Hashem's tears. It was meant to teach us something else, and we'll see shortly some examples. The Maariv Chayos, also writing in the 1800s in response to the Enlightenment and conservative and reform movements, suggests very simply that the Mishnah and the Gemara were originally Torah Shebaal Peh. And they were written down because in each time, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided it's time to consolidate the Mishnah. Rav Ashi decided it's time to consolidate the Gemara. He brings evidence from the Gemara itself that Agadatas were written down long before that, historically. They weren't published
before the Gemara.
Even before the Mishnah, and that they were well known to people. That's why, for example, there are times in Agadata when the Gemara makes allusions to things that we don't know what they are, and it'll be a long Rashi telling us the story. How did that happen? Because the stories were so well known, they only need to be hinted to. In some cases, they were passed down orally, even as late as Rashi and Tosfos. But the downside of that was, because they didn't have printing presses, anything that was copied by hand. a process that's prone to significant error, which is why we have different Gersos in the Gemara as well. One reason we have different Gersos in the Gemara, set aside from censorship that was mentioned before. So over the centuries, we no longer have accurate Agadata. So he brings examples of many stories that appear, like the story about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's death. In another source, it's about Rabbi Tarfon. For stories, it's like today, people tell Gedolim stories, but I'll tell it about the Chafetz Chaim, and you'll tell it about some Hasidish Rebbe. The point is, it's not really important who it happened to. The point is the story itself, and it may not even be entirely accurate. Rav Avram Shapira, the Rosh Shiva Merkaz HaTorah and former Chief Rabbi of Israel, is quoted as saying, 80% of Gedolim stories are not true, but they're worth reading anyway. Because the message, I don't know if that's a true story, because that's a Gedolim story, but that's what he's quoted as saying. And so same thing is true with Agadata. We don't have entirely accurate, because they're so old, they're not entirely accurate, and therefore we can't learn halacha from them. According to Maariv Chayos, and he could make such a statement, there is not a single story in the Bavli that appears exactly the same way in Yerushalmi. Any story that's in both the Bavli and Yerushalmi, there are differences either in who the person in the story was or in some non-trivial detail of the story. It doesn't detract from the lesson we can learn from it, but it does prevent us from using it to learn halacha because it's not accurate enough. Next page, source number 4, Rav Shrira Gaon, who was the father of Rav Hai Gaon. So he was the second to last Gaon. The term Gaon, today we use it to mean genius, like the Vilna Gaon. But in those days, Gaon was simply meant the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. There were at some times two yeshivas, so there could be two Gaonim at the same time. It meant the top rabbi, essentially, in Bavel, and therefore in the world at that time. So Rosh Shira Gaon is quoted. This is quoted in many sources. I could not find Rosh Shira Gaon's, any source that had his original words, but it's quoted in many sources, including Menoras HaMa'or, which is a late Rishon or early Achron who did something similar to the Ein Yaakov. He compiled the Agadata into, and he does arrange it by topic. And it's a popular Musar Sefer, and it was translated into Yiddish and into English. It was also, in particular, popular Musar Sefer for women because it's arranged by topics. So he writes, Menor Samar writes in the introduction, that Katav Rav Shira Gaon Zal B'Megilat Starav, Rav Shira Gaon wrote in his notebook, Alinyana Hagadot, regarding Agadata, Hani Mili Denafki Mipsuke, those things which are derived from Sukkim, Umikru Midrash Vagada, and they are called Medrash or Agadata. Okay, we'll see momentarily what's the difference between a Medrash, like Medrash Rabbah, and Agadata that we have. Umdana Ninhu, these are all the, Umdana is, it's more than an opinion, but it's things that were called the opinion of the person who said it. Now it's not just, you know, he woke up one morning and said, my opinion is, but it's based on his understanding of things. Rav Volba writes, for example, Rav Shlomo Volba, that when Chazal talk about Avram Avinu's chesed, hachnasas orchim is greater than talking to Hashem and other great things about Avram Avinu's chesed. So Rav Volba writes, this is in the introduction to his Sefer on Chumash, he didn't write it, it's from recordings. Rav Volba said, and his students wrote, that was to make such a statement, you have to have a really profound appreciation of what chesed is. I could throw out a statement about chesed, but unless you know, it's like, you know, you hear people lecturing about raising children. And my attitude towards that is, I want to meet their children. Before I hear their lecture, I want to meet their children. So in order to comment on Avram Avinu's chesed, you have to have a profound understanding of chesed yourself, of what chesed means, and what does it mean to talk to Hashem? How can you compare them? How can you make a statement that Hachnas Sorchim is greater than talking to Hashem unless you really understand? V'amru alav. Now, I believe, I'm not sure because I couldn't find the original source. I believe that now is not Rav Shira Gaon talking anymore, but is the Menoras HaMa'or, Rav Yitzchak Abuhab, who, by the way, was also a great posek and is quoted many times in the Beis Yosef of Rav Yosef Karo. Ki davar zel ksat me'midrashot shamru acharonim. That this, what he said, that it's based on the people's understanding rather than being a received tradition, is talking about some of the midrashim, kigon Rabbi Tanchuma, Rabbi Oshia, like the Medrash Tanchuma, Valdrim Matim Divrei Agadash Matamud, and some of the things in the Gemara Shiktuvim Omed, which are based on the person's on the opinion of the person saying them rather than being received tradition. For example, the Gemara that says that the Makoshesh was Slavchad, according to Menorah Samar, that Rav Shir Gaon is saying that's not a received tradition from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Makoshesh was Slavchad, but rather, based on the reading of the Psukim and the understanding of the situation, it seems to be a very reasonable conclusion. Okay? And in fact, it's Machlokas, whether Rabbi Akiva says, the Torah doesn't say that. How can you say that? V'adomim lezen, similar situations. Aval rubam heim sodot v'chokhmot elyonot, but most of the Agadata is secrets and very lofty wisdom, umusarim, and musar midot tavot, good midos van hagok ne'adam, and ways that people should act, v'tikun haguf v'nefesh, and how to fix both your body and your soul, v'ein ra'ui laniach harov b'shul ha'mi'ut, do not abandon the majority because a little bit of it is not received tradition. He says, even in halacha, we have machlokas. Clearly, not everything in halacha is received tradition, because if it was, how could it be machlokas? Yet we don't say, oh, we're not going to learn that Mishnah that has a machlokas in it. Obviously, we don't. We learn it all. And then, at the end, he quotes Rav Haigon, who was asked, my fresh yesh ben amidrash v'agada k'tuvim v'tamud. What's the difference between uvein k'tuvim v'chus v'tamud? What's the difference between agadata that's in the Gemara and midrashim that are not in the Gemara? And Rav Haigon said, consistent with this, kol mash nikba v'tamud hu mechuvar mimash lo nikba. What's in the Gemara is more reliable than what's not in the Gemara. Certainly not every medrash is something we have to believe. And Ramban himself said, Ramban Zay Rishon, and Ramban said this in the famous disputation with the priest that the Ramban had. The priest threw a medrash at him. The priest, of course, is trying to prove the truth of Christianity and belief in Yashka, and he threw a medrash at Ramban, and Ramban says, first of all, you're misinterpreting the medrash. But anyway, and he explains what the medrash means, says, but anyway, even if you're not going to accept my explanation, I'll just tell you, I don't have to believe every medrash. Ramban says that. Today, people are taught as if medrash is sometimes children come home from school and they don't know the difference between a pasuk and a medrash. And lots of adults too, because we were taught that way, or because people are taught that way, and that's not correct. A medrash is a medrash. One of the students of Vilna Gaon wrote in his will to his children, you should study medrash, and don't think studying medrash is studying chumash. You should have a time for studying chumash, and you should have a time for studying medrash. They're two different things. Aside from that, Rav Haigon is saying medrash is less accurate than agadata in the Gemara. The Rambam writes in at least five places, I quoted two of them, one in Igeres Chias HaMesim, which is his letter about Chias HaMesim, and in four times in different places in Perash HaMishnayos, that there's no such thing as paskening halacha between two different opinions in the Agadata. First, we talked about you can't pasken halacha based on Agadata. There's a machlokas in halacha. Rabbi so-and-so says mutter, and Rabbi so-and-so says usser. You can't use an Agadata to pasken. Just similar issue today. Sometimes people want to pasken based on what they saw Rabbi so-and-so do. Okay, it's called a Masei Rav. And in fact, we have this sefer about the Vilna Gaon called Masei Rav, which says this is what the Vilna Gaon did. And there are people who pasken from it. However, even about that, there's machlokas among the Vilna Gaon students, what the Vilna Gaon did. That's why in Parsha Zachar, we read the last pasuk twice, Zecher and Zecher, because it's a machlokas what the Vilna Gaon did. So you have to be very careful paskening halacha based on a story. I saw a sefer that said, you know, in leap year, in Musaf, in Shemoneh Esrei, we say, we add the words, the chaparat pesha. Right? I saw a sefer that's, and most people only do that up to Adar, and then stop. So I saw a sefer that said, the stipler said it all year long. How do I know? Because I saw him say it once. You saw him say it once? It doesn't say, I asked him, did you do this intentionally? It doesn't say, I saw him do it month after month after month for 20 years. He saw it once, and he wants to Paskin Halacha based on that. It's a little dangerous. Even the stipler could make a mistake. And
he misinterpreted. I just read the story about Rav Moshe Feinstein there that he picked up like a carton of milk and then he put it back. And
right.
Then there was this rumor started around that he didn't think this was Moshe. The guy called him up. He said, "What's wrong with my milk?" And Moshe said it was very funny because he said the reason I put it back was the carton was empty.
Right, exactly. So that's one thing. You can't paskin a machlokas based on agadata. Here the Rambam is making a different point, which is in agadata itself, you can't say, if two competing agadatas, you can't say we paskin like this one and not like this one, like this opinion about the agadata. That requires a little further development, the Rambam's opinion, because Rambam himself seems to do that. We have a machlokes, what the days of Mashiach are going to be like. Are they going to be just like today, except the Goyim will leave us alone? Or are they going to be supernatural? And the Rambam in Mishnah, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says, Ein bein yimot Mashiach, ein bein olam hazeh lemot Mashiach, ela shibud machiyot bilvad. There's no difference between nowadays and Mashiach, except that the Goyim will leave us alone. Seems to be paskening. The Yud Gimli Karim, the 13 principles of faith. One of them is you have to believe in Mashiach. There is an opinion in the Gemara, which we'll get to in Perek Chelek, that there is no Mashiach. And it's in the Gemara. The Sefer Ikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, also a Rishon, he asks Akasha on the Rambam, how can you say you have to believe in Mashiach? Rabbi Hillel in the Gemara did not believe in Mashiach. The Rambam seems to hold that there are some things, these 13 things, which are so basic that even though they're agadata, they are halacha. But in general, you cannot pick and choose between opinions in the agadata. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll continue with this introduction tomorrow. As I said, there's a lot of, even though I broke it in sections, there's going to be a lot of overlap between what we covered already and what we're going to cover.
Okay.